Welcome back to the Quality Time Podcast. I'm your host, Eric Woodworth. Now, listen, I'm sorry, there's no Jeremy again. That's on me. It's on Jeremy, but he didn't make it. Work's been a little bit hectic, but we do have a big announcement coming back to the show on a weekly basis. Miss Ashley Pontius will be my guest host and regular host moving forward for the show. Jeremy will still be on future episodes as soon as his thing works out. But we were always meant to be a three-person show, and ever since Kim left, we were looking for that right lady to fill the spot, and we have found it in Miss Ashley Pontius. So get excited about her being on the show every week. Now, if you do listen to the show, listen, again, we're small operation and a labor of love. If you love the show, give us good ratings on whatever platform you listen to us on. Tell a friend. Word of mouth means the world to us. So without further ado, get strapped in, turn that volume up to 11, and get ready for Feast.
Hello, kiddies. It's your old pal, the Crypt Keeper. This is a big shout out to my friends at Quality Time Podcast.
Okay. Well, tell him we're doing Quality Time. If he would like to join, we'll be here.
Yeah, he literally like crashed as soon as he got home tonight. I mean, this morning. So, and he has to go back in tonight at 6.
Okay. Well, tell him I send my best. And, you know, give him one blowy on the house. He needs it. Okay?
Whatever. I'll get the vacuum on him and a little Vaseline. I ain't touching nothing with my lips.
Respect. All right, I'll talk to you later, Michelle. Thank you, though. All right, bye.
That's amazing.
That rocks. Was. Michelle is fun. I like her.
Aww.
I do. She's the sweet. So we have no Jeremy today, it sounds like.
Okay.
And listen, if he gets on at this point, he's going to be a sourpuss. So I'm not even going to do it. What I'm going to do is just go ahead and jump right into motherfucking Quality Time. Welcome, ladies and gents. Another exciting, enthralling, nay, I couldn't think of another adjective. Great show. We have here today. My name is Eric Woodworth, and as you heard in the pre-show there, no Jeremy P. Woodworth. He's got to work tonight. He didn't, I thought he would have called me. Hurt my feelings a little bit. So once again, exciting news, okay? Quality Timers abroad. Exciting news. I'd like to welcome you until she's fucking sick of us and no longer wants to be part of us, or until I get canceled and then she can no longer associate herself with our podcast. Give it up for the new third mic on the Quality Time Podcast, Miss Ashley Pontius. Ashley, how are you doing, darling?
I am so good. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. That's all I needed was your sweet, your smile lights up the Zoom screen for me.
Oh my goodness. Well, I had to, since Jeremy gives off that weird yellow glow when he smiles.
Yeah,
so
it's strong. It is a strong yellow glow. Oh man. We've been just having a hoot of a time. COVID-19, you know, I haven't even heard anything about the news. It seems like the world is going back to normal and America is safer than it's ever been. Could be, mayhap. Welcome, Ashley. Welcome to the show on a permanent basis until you decide to stop being part of it. How excited are you about this?
I am so excited. Like, I will lie to my bosses that I'm busy and in another meeting just to listen to Quality Time.
Yes. Yeah, now, how far in the archives have you gotten? Have you found any secret gems? Because if I'm being honest with you, I help produce the show and actually do the show, and by the time I put it up, I very rarely listen to my own voice any more than I have to. So I just can't do it. I don't listen to my own show, like, generally, unless I'm pulling it up. I'm like, hey, you got to hear this one part that I need you to hear. But usually, it's not me. But have you found any secret gems back in the archives of Quality Time that have really tickled your fancy?
It has been such a joy, and I'm so glad you gave me the back archives, because I know, like, on Spotify, I think it stops at, like, episode 93, but on your Podbean, I can go all the way back to the beginning.
Yeah.
And I really love just some of these original songs. I'm definitely thinking I need them on Laserdisc and 8-track, because 13 Ghosts from the 13 Ghosts. I almost choked to death. It was so funny. It was great. And then your Thing episode, you know me, I'm a huge John Carpenter fan, and Jeremy pretending to be Wilford Brimley just really got me.
It is. Jeremy is a good Wilford Brimley. Now, I think we talked about this on the pod, but we've actually went to one of the Monster Manias and met Wilford Brimley. Now, it was not a great meeting between the Quality Time podcast and Wilford Brimley. We came up to I actually have the audio. I can't release it because he explicitly told us not to. But as I rolled up, I came out with the we had a recorder up, and you could just hear him go, I told him no damn recordings right now. And, like, he was having a full diabetes flare up, and we were not allowed to document any moment of that. And he didn't really like Jeremy Woodworth. What can I say?
That's weird. I don't know who would like Jeremy. He's just so great. He's my bread and butter. Like, a man that can do so many voices, that pretend to be a rapist serial killer. Like, gosh, he has everything.
You know, and I miss him so much. Now, Jeremy's been working. It's odd because Jeremy's been out of a job off and on. So he, right now, his wife has been furloughed currently. So he is actually in the rare position over the last 5 years where he is now the breadwinner of the family. So he is, he's crushing it. So I respect my sweet brother. I can't wait till the worlds go back to normal and he doesn't have to work the extra night shifts to put food and bread on the table for he and his wife. So, and then we can talk about Feast again. So I can't wait for that. I don't know. You know, I'm at this point, I got really nothing that's happened in the last couple of weeks other than the fact that I've just been working and being in over my head and just playing Quiplash with my fine friends in private rooms where we say horrible things about each other. That other than that, that's all I got.
Yeah. Gives me a real Woody. I totally get it.
A real Woody. That's what we'll call the Quality Time Awards. We'll give them Woodies.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. I told Eric the other day that I was so bored at work. Like, I thought I was going to kill myself right there at my desk. And all of a sudden, in the middle of a meeting, I thought out loud, how much wood is a Woodworth worth if a Woodworth was worth wood? And then I laughed out loud and wanted to kill myself.
That happens sometimes, though. You know, you get to, you just get there. And I don't know. I'm just happy. The funny part is I've been working on a project called Kickin' Durst, if you're a listener of the Laugh Finder podcast, our sister show, you probably have a little bit of information about Kickin' Durst. It is a a dramatic reading style podcast show about a fictional radio host who's kind of like a George Norrie type, Coast to Coast AM, if you're not familiar, talks about the supernatural and things like that. It's anchored by the guy whose name is Durst, who's actually played by Tommy Simbazo, and has a pretty star, has some really good star power behind it. We have Michael Winslow on the show, who does voiceover work. Michael Winslow, famous from Police Academy, and so I've been working on some of the music for that, and it is it sucked some of the life out of me over the last couple of weeks, but I have produced some music for that show, in particular a song called Micropenis. So keep your eyes out for that one. It's a pretty, it's a humdinger. It's gonna be, it's gonna be a Christmas classic by the time it hits the airwaves. But no, it's very good, and I've got to meet some of the cast, like Kim Bertrand. She is a beautiful trans woman that lives down in Texas, and she's part of the cast and very, very funny. She's been playing some of the live Quiplash games with us on Laugh Finder, so I can't wait to see what the final product is. And I just, it's, you know, producing stuff for other people. You know, we do this. This is chill because I'm like, I don't give a fuck what happens in this. This is just me, right. Ash, and Jeremy when he's actually here, just fucking riffing shit out about fucking horror movies that we love and trashy pulp films. That's it. And I can always handle that. So,
yeah.
Anyway.
But that's very cool. I didn't realize you were part of that group. That's awesome. Congrats.
I'm low key part of it. I don't know if I want to get too much deeper into it. So I'm
so
like,
you're at like the me of the group.
I'm like, I want to be, I have a toe in, okay? Just to be clear, I have a toe in. I've been adding my little here's and there's, but I look at it and I'm like, I don't know how much effort I can put into this project. I can, it's like, because listen, the market is, I put my heart and soul into a lot of projects, and then when they don't come to fruition, it breaks me, okay? So yeah. I keep it at arm's length to a certain extent. Oh, yeah. I will say that I filmed, me, Tommy, Brian, and Violet all filmed something back at the end of 2019 for Harbor Films. They are like a film studio that filmed our comedy sets, and very, very professionally, very cool. And they did like some pre-show and after-show kind of talking stuff. Like I don't know how to explain it. Anyway, I got the first cut of it this week, and it's fucking awesome. Like it's,
that's
like
so cool.
I actually look, like, it's so professionally done that it kind of blows me away, and I'm like, that's just my dick jokes right there. Look at that on the big screen. I can't even believe it. So I'm very excited about that. So probably by the end of the month, you're going to see some of that start to come out, where I talk about the place where we filmed this place, which seemed like Fallujah, Iraq was probably a safer bet. But hey, it was, it's really good. I'll send you the link, Ash, so you can see
yes.
it. So they got
I would love that.
It was a really, I remember doing it, and let's just say, I'm trying to put this in a way where if somebody from work that listens to it can't fire me. So let's just say I remember doing this and thinking it wasn't going to be good, right? But I more remember it is that maybe I had something on me that, a stimulant, we'll say this. I had a stimulant on me that I lost while filming this, mm-hmm. and I was not fucking happy for the rest of the night. It was just,
I can imagine.
It was just like, well, that sucks. Fuck. All right. Well, I guess I'm going to go fucking shoot the scene with Brian now.
You need to start wearing a bra. That's where I used to keep mine.
Damn it.
Just kind of keep it in there, or like they normally just right between the cheeks. Just
keep it
nice and moist.
You ladies got everything. Yeah.
I know. You know what? A pussy is just another purse. You know, it's a pussy purse.
Yeah. All I have is the stupid boy pussy that you guys already have.
Yours is probably a lot more exciting than mine. I've got a lot going on back there. It's just no one wants in. Like,
It's like the Sarlacc that swallowed Boba Fett in Return of the Jedi. I understand.
Well, you know, I do feel a little bit better about my asshole after hearing about Lindsey Graham's being covered in moles, so I feel a lot better.
What? Lindsey Graham has an asshole that's covered with moles? Where did this come from?
Yeah, am I using the right name, right? The politician, Lindsey Graham?
Yeah, I think it's Lindsey Graham, correct, yeah.
And if we're not, Joe will tell us.
The guy who is the super, he's clearly the most closeted homosexual man ever to be in the Republican Party.
Yes. So someone came out and said that he hired them as an escort. And the description, it made me spill my coffee this morning. They said that they thought he hadn't wiped his ass and he was on like all fours. And they're like, hey, do you mind if I clean you? And he's like, go for it. And she's like, I just kept wiping and wiping and wiping. And I was like, oh no, he's got the poo marker. You know, where you just keep wiping and there's duty. And then she goes, it's not coming off. Oh, they're moles. And he called them, quote, my little ladybugs. And I just like spilled my coffee and I was like, oh god, no, I can't have sex for months because that was on the table. But
oh, sweet Lindsey Graham and his mole-covered asshole. Oh, well, man, that's it. I'm fucking ready now. Now, Ashley, since you're on the show this week, why don't you tell our listeners what we're going to be getting into tonight?
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, it is a feast for all five senses. You will taste things, you will smell things, you will see things and hear things you can't unsee. This is a real gem. I believe it came out in 2005, 2006?
2005, correct. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, 2005. I did not hear about this movie until about a year ago, actually. I had never heard of this movie.
Oh.
But I was in the middle of a blowjob, and my date was like, let's put this on. And I was like, sure. So now you know what type of men I'm into. Too bad Jeremy's not single. It's very disturbing. There's been a couple sequels, a lot of straight to video nightmares. But ladies and gentlemen, I am so excited. We are doing Feast,
2005's Feast, directed by John Gallagher. Can you name your favorite John Gallagher film?
Me?
Yes.
No, I can't.
Well, I can tell you. I can tell you he's done not only Feast, but 2009's The Collector and Piranha 3D in 2012.
He did The Collector? I didn't know that.
He did. Directed. Well, he did camera and electrical director? I don't know. Maybe I messed this all up. Hi, my sweet. What is it? My child is here now. What?
I'm starving and I haven't ate a snack yet.
You're starving and you haven't ate a snack? Well, how do you want? Do you want to get like maybe some? Do you want me to empty the vacuum cleaner? Maybe we eat some of that.
No.
Why? You don't want to just eat filth?
I don't like filth.
You don't like filth? All right. Well, honey, it's not time for snack time. You got to wait another 90 minutes, and then you can have a snack.
Wait, 90? No, that's not true.
It's 90 more minutes till snack time. Yeah.
No, it's not.
You eat. Get what time you get snack? And what time is right now?
I can't see.
It's 1:26 or 1:30-ish. So you got 90 more minutes until it's 3 o'clock, okay? Mm. All right, pound sand, little kid. I've had enough. I'm just kidding. I love you. I love you so much. You got to go upstairs. Daddy's trying to do a show. Is that okay?
It's okay.
Can you grab Daddy a sweet beer out of the fridge, out of the door over there? Thank you, my sweet beer holder.
Wait a minute. You're not going to feed her, but you're like, can you go get me a beer?
Yeah, it's called when you own the house, you get to make the rules. That's how shit works around here.
I am so excited for all the therapy she's going to need when she's older. That's really...
Listen, I didn't have breakfast or lunch, and so I could have... Look at the door. Look at the door. The door. Look at the door. Do you see it? What? No. The door. Look down. See? Grab. Yes. Ring. Close. Close it.
You talk to her the way I used to talk to my German shepherds.
Because she's not listening. Please, thank you so much. I love you. Okay. Now go upstairs, please. Oh, thank you, my sweet. Say hi to Miss Ashley.
Hi, Miss Ashley.
Hi! Blink once if Daddy is treating you nice. Blink twice if he's not.
Quick. Only blink once. Blink one time for her.
Wait, what?
She said blink once if I'm being nice to you.
Okay. Nice. Oh!
No, you blinked twice!
No, I blinked by accident. I had to blink one. Another time, okay. A second time.
Okay, you just had to. I understand that.
I trust you. You seem sweet and well-adjusted, probably thanks to your mom.
All right, upstairs. Come on, let me keep recording, okay? Thank you, my love.
I love you.
I love you, too.
Oh, my God. Your kids are so cute.
I know.
How is that possible?
I did it. So, yeah, 2005's Feast. After my kid... Hurry up and get upstairs or I'll get the hose. I'm kidding. I will not do that to my children. Please don't call CPS on me. So, no, I remember this movie back. I actually saw it somewhere around like 2006. Jeremy actually gave me a burned bootleg copy of this movie. He delivered it to, I think, to me in college or when I was back from like school one year. Like he was just like, you gotta watch this. And I popped it in. I was just like, this is just fucking awesome. And I didn't know what it was or what was going to happen. I sat down and enjoyed the ride with no expectations. Yeah. And I suggest if you haven't seen Feast, turn off the fucking show right now because we've already got our analytics that said you've listened to enough of this. So watch the movie currently right now. It's free on YouTube in a Blu-ray copy version of it. So you can watch the entire thing for absolutely free on YouTube, ad-free. Good bootleg copy up right now. So check that shit out. And not to mention, there's low-key a star-studded cast in this film, right?
I know.
So this film has Dwayne Whittaker, who might not sound super famous to you, but he's actually, Dwayne Whittaker plays the boss in this. He's actually the guy who's in Pulp Fiction, who is Zed, the guy who has the motorcycle. Or no, Zed is the guy who gets shot, but he's the other dude in the pawn shop that gets Bruce Willis and then he gets chopped with the fucking sword and everything. That's Dwayne Whittaker. It also has Henry Rollins, obviously of Black Flag fame and his own solo career, who I love his character, Coach, in this. Jason Mewes of Jay and Silent Bob fame. A very young and not yet successful Judah Friedlander is in this, who fucking crushes it. You get Anthony Chris, better known as Tretch from Naughty by Nature, as a cameo role in this. And most importantly, and not to be downplayed, we have the very lovely Krista Allen. Now, if you guys aren't familiar with Krista Allen, she's been in a lot of films over the years. She had a small role in Liar Liar. She was in Baywatch, the movie Anger Management. But if you really go back down through the fucking annals of time, I remember her most vividly through my puberty years in 1994 and 1995, as she starred in not 7 Emmanuel films, which if you're not familiar with what those are all softcore Cinemax pornography films. So her tits are on display and Daddy became a man to some of her movies. So Krista Allen, shout outs.
I gotta say, though, the guy that plays Boss, the whole time I'm watching him on screen, I was like, wait, is this the guy everybody keeps making fun of on 90 Day Fiancé because he's got, like, no neck? Do you know who I'm talking about?
Yes, I do know who you're talking about. That
I can't deal with that.
The guy who looks like he somehow didn't make it on Tiger King but should have, right? Like,
yes.
No, I see what you're saying.
The guy with the mayonnaise hair, yeah.
Yes, 100%. So the thing I really like most about this movie, it is, A, it's a simple-ass movie. B, the pacing is like that. I love a 90 minute movie that is fucking perfectly paced, and this movie mm-hmm. does that to a T. And I mean, in the first 15 minutes we kind of get to meet all of our characters, and they do this kind of thing where like they roll in and then you get to see their, it'll like freeze frame and give them the stats of each person. Like, Bozo, probably going to die tonight. Blah, 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 yeah. blah, blah. They make it very clear that nobody is safe in this movie. You get to meet the Harley mom, who's like a biker chick in there. There's a kid who's in a wheelchair. His name is Hot Wheels. Coach, who's Henry Rollins, who's not like a sports coach. He's a life coach. And I kind of equate him, like, if you've ever seen Donnie Darko, he kind of plays like very much Patrick Swayze's character in Donnie Darko.
Yes.
That real douchey, self-important, rah-rah, this is what you need to do to change your life piece of shit.
Well, I love that they call him in his like character card on screen. I love that they call him the poor man's Tony Robbins.
Yes.
I thought that was so funny.
Yes. We also get to meet Jason Mewes, who's as himself. He's just as Jason. Jason Mewes just hangs out at this useless Texas bar out of nowhere just because it's the weekend. you get the beer guy, who's played by Judah Freelander. And he is a... it's funny that I didn't remember Judah Freelander in this movie. I just remember watching it and like, oh, that guy was pretty funny. But now, obviously, you know, he's been on 30 Rock and multiple comedy specials since then. I'm like, holy shit, that's fucking Judah Freelander right there. And I never realized it until this second watch through. But he is fucking phenomenal in this, as you guys will see. Tuffy, who's our just waitress with a heart of gold, nothing to live for, played by Krista Allen. We already talked about her. Oh, the bartender, another famous actor in this. That's I say famous because, listen, I need to correct. None of these people are particularly famous, as Joe Robinson is probably going to point out multiple times. What they are B-list level celebrities and all people that you kind of look at and go, you know, I know who that guy, I've seen that guy somewhere. They're all those kind of people. But no, the bartender is Clue Gallagher, who is, you might remember him from multiple films, Return of the Living Dead, Nightmare on Elm Street 2, or I remember him most vividly from the Devil's Rejects. He's the cowboy guy that gets shot, and
that's right.
So yeah, he's a good actor, great guy. I wonder if he's still alive. Not sure. Let's see here. Let's see if Clue is still alive.
I love an old person that shows up in like tons of horror movies. I just love the idea that you, like, your grandkids are like, what did your grandma do? She's always busy. Be like, oh, she's eating the dicks off of little boys in this horror franchise. Like, I think that's just the coolest thing ever.
I think he is still alive. Let me see. It says born. It has no death date, but I'm on IMDb right now. And if he is,
accurate, though, I thought.
If he is, he's like 92 years old right now.
That's pretty dope.
Dude, this motherfucker old as hell right now.
It's always those horror actors. They either die really, really young, or they live to be like 100 and look like one of their own props. Like, it's awesome.
You either live long enough to see you become a cult classic, or you die becoming the monster that you were trying to run from the whole time. I think that was in The Dark Knight. It's like a paraphrase. I don't really know. We get to meet the vet, who's played by Anthony Criss, better known as Tretch from Naughty by Nature. Little known fact about that, though, Anthony Criss from Naughty by Nature, actually a brother of Peter Criss from Kiss. Who knew? I made that up. It's just they're just both.
I'm
named
very
Criss.
Gullible. I'm like, I don't know how that ends up, but I'm gonna believe it. Now wait, did Naughty by Nature, did they do that song OPP? Was that them?
Yes, OPP and off Hip Hop Hooray.
No, that's so funny because I was thinking about that song a lot because I love it, and I was like, wow. I was like, Eric and I should write a parody called PPE.
I like it. PPE. How would that go? How do we riff that out?
You know, with PPE, yeah, you know me.
You know,
and then
PPE.
It's like, how do I explain it? There's vomit everywhere.
Projected vomit everywhere. I can't really breathe. We get to we also get to meet Honey Pie, who is our big breasted fucking waitress. She's like she's the eye candy of the movie, and sort of portrayed as maybe the innocent girl who might get away with all of it. And Cody, of course, who is the little kid, Chris, who is Tuffy's son, who's upstairs, as we'll find out some more of about her. Now, Tuffy's life ain't that great. You find out in the first couple of minutes she does some little bit of side prostituting work and fucks the boss man, which I pulled an audio of just him making sex sounds, which really made me laugh, which is I don't know why. If I ever were having a sexual experience, okay, and you sounded like Tigger from Winnie the Pooh, I would I would raise questions. Like,
it's so bad. It sounds like he's at a rodeo and he's trying to get on top of one of those pigs to like hog tie him. He's like, sweet. Just so gross. Don't like it at all.
And while all that's going down and she's doing some of her sidewalk for the boss man, all of a sudden our hero walks in and the bar kind of record skips and they all look at him.
Give me some action! Fuck are you? Unless you people want to die, you'll do what I say and you'll do it fast. Listen to me. A storm of hell is coming down on this place any second. I don't know what they are. I don't know where they came from. All I do know is that these fuckers are fast, nasty, and hungry. And there's four of them. They got claws like Ginsu knives, more teeth than a chainsaw. They're coming. Right now. You. Get a phone, call the cops, National Guard, townies, anybody who kicks ass, and get them out here.
By the way, I like that he said, call anybody who kicks ass. I don't know why that really, I was like, wait a minute. At that part, I start questioning my leader. I was just like, wait a minute, do I have any ass kickers on my phone? And let's put ourselves in that situation. Who do you call? You're stuck at a bar, monsters are bearing down on it. Who do you call, Ashley, who kicks ass?
Definitely Tommy Zimbazo.
That was number one on my list. I call Tommy Zimbazo. One. He's going to bring armor for us. He's going to have... he's not even going to have any store-bought weapons. They will all be handcrafted. No. You'll have to use the old-timey machine gun that has the crank. You know, he'll roll that out on the back of his bike like this. And it'll be good. It'll be very wild, wild. He'll die immediately. But it'll be really tight that he came to save us.
Well, I love that, like, last night we were talking about the end of COVID. And he kind of acted like he didn't want to go back out, and I think it was you that said Tommy doesn't want it to be over. This is the best time of his life.
I stand by that. Tommy does not want COVID to end. He's never been living better than he is right now in his home with no excuse to leave and nothing but his own thoughts and projects to do. He's gonna listen. If we just focused and harnessed his power and you got him an electron microscope and a bunch of samples of COVID, he'll fucking solve it. He'll fucking 3D print a fucking cure that won't be a vaccine. It'll be a small nanobot that you inject into yourself that'll look like a tiny mech warrior that will destroy the virus cell by cell, and unfortunately probably destroy the world after that. But listen, potato potato. As he's talking, though, he goes over to the window to go to start board it up, and monster hands rip through there and rip his fucking head off in the first minute he's in there. That's all the talking that he does. He just gets his head ripped off.
Loved it.
Squirts blood all over the Honey Pie, our waitress, and just immediate gore fest to start the movie. Next, we see the girlfriend, or I'm sorry, his wife walk in and go...
Where's my husband?
She immediately sees his dead body on the floor. But before that, you can even react to that and she can have a moment of sadness, a little one of these monsters gets fucking loose in there and starts walking around and it basically goes over to like the Harley mom lady cuts her leg off like that, rips Jason Mewes' face completely off so that he looks like so he's good. In the movie Hellraiser with no skin.
I was just about to say that.
Oh, God, it rocks so fucking hard. And they eventually lock this little fucker in an ice chest, and our new hero, heroine lady, goes and is able to rip her ring off of her husband's dead hand as his body is dragged out by a giant monster through the window. They barricade the windows. The vet gets, as they're trying to do that, the vet, played by Naughty by Nature's Tretch, gets fucking two giant hands pushed through his chest and like, rah, fucking pretty gnarly looking special effect. Barkeep gets knocked down, but they seem to be able to close everything up after the initial murder fest that's occurred. She walks over and then walks over to the bartender with a dollar in her hand, slams it on there. Beer me. And then they give our heroine that says, hopefully does better than our last hero, which was, it's pretty cool. I really do love the campiness of this film.
Oh, absolutely. But can we also just say that, like, personally, I've never in all my years of drinking gone up to a bartender and been like, beer me.
I've definitely done a beer me before. Never to a bartender, but definitely to friends. I've definitely done to friends like, you know, your beer me right here, toss it up, Stone Cold Steve Austin. Uh-huh. I'm into that phrase.
I just don't get like the coolness of like strolling up to the bartender and using such terrible phrasing and be like, beer me, I've got a dollar.
Yeah, I mean, I also think that back, you know, I think now we're kind of used to like being the idea of being very, very kind to our wait staff, I think has changed in the last like 5 or 6 years, right? Because like, I also think like this before this time, it was just it was fine to treat somebody like that like a piece of shit. Like it wasn't bad. Mm-hmm. You know, now we call people out who are fucking shitty to people. But
that's probably true because of how bad they treat the kid in the wheelchair.
Yeah, that fucking crippled bitch. But yeah, they do. There's all monsters in this movie. There's only monsters. But
that's so deep. You should put that in your book report.
Hold on, let me finish the Woodworth Manifesto over here. And pretty good opening scene to get the movie kicked off. Pure mayhem, gore, violence, everything but titties in the first scene. So very good stuff. So everyone is in shock from all the mayhem. Tuffy remembers that her son Cody is upstairs, and she goes to go check on him.
I'm so sorry.
And she finds him hiding in the closet. Oh my gosh! And the giant monster bursts through the window, grabs her son, and then just eats the son right in front of her, just spraying her with blood. Like, I love it because, like, that's always the thing in, like, a horror movie. It's always like, oh, the little kid, the person who's most vulnerable, they're totally going to make it. No need to worry about this. Everything's going to be fine. We're not going to get... Nope, we kill the kid. He's the next one that gets fucking offed immediately.
So good. Like, when I first watched this and I saw that happen, I don't think my nipples have ever been harder. Like, I was like, yeah, eat them whole.
Oh man, Jeremy, this is where Jeremy got the idea for Baby Eater. Was this the barkeep is able to pop off a couple of shots at this thing, this monster who's wearing like dead animals, so you can't really see what it looks like. It's wearing like a fucking cow's skull on here, and it's like covered in like all types of hides. Barkeep is able to blow a horn off of the fucking front of it, and Judah Freelander, who plays the beer guy, gets aggressively puked on. Like, not just a little throw up, I mean a projectile, fucking Evil Dead 2, blood out of the wall, straight green vomit on for like what feels like 30 seconds of just like, like that.
And then the kid's shoe comes out with the vomit. Ugh, the kid's like Nike comes
God,
out.
So good. So fucking good. And they continue to go lock down the rest of the place. They lock the door to that, and you know, Tuffy and the rest of them are out of there. They hear that there's a radio somewhere upstairs, but the beer guy is not dealing well with getting puked on because he's covered in fucking maggots that kind of like look like they're making their way into like the crevices of his eyes and underneath his nails and stuff. I mean, it's fucking, it's vile. So they keep doing that, and he goes to leave, but the our sweet heroine stops him and says, "You can't leave. I got a daughter out there that's waiting for me. You can't fucking just open that door and kill the rest of us by doing this." I got some hints, and I know you're familiar with the movie Aliens, right? I feel
Hell
like
yeah.
Judah Friedlander's character is very much that in the same vein of a Bill Paxton from Aliens.
Game over,
Hudson.
Man. Game over.
He's like, "We're fucked. We gotta get the fuck out of here. What the fuck is, why are we still here?" Right? Like the voice of panic, but also slight reason. So,
well, you know what else that's interesting? Because when I first watched it, I was kind of hoping that Harley Mom was going to be like a Vasquez and be like this badass bitch that hung around for a long time.
Oh, man.
And
It's funny that you brought up my sweet Vasquez, who she is one of the specials that have been killed by both a Terminator and an alien. Vasquez from Aliens is also the mom in Terminator 2, John Connor's stepmom who gets killed by the T-1000. So I bought a shirt a couple weeks ago because I have one of my vices that I love is I can't stop buying t-shirts. Like I have a couple hundred t-shirts. I don't think I'm overplaying it. I have a couple hundred t-shirts. Every once in a while I have to go in and remove some and I'm like, these are no longer, I retire these ones. But I bought one about 2 weeks ago, and it just says Hicks up here, and then it says Vasquez, and it's just a picture, like an illustration of Hicks and Vasquez from Aliens. And I can't wait till the world opens back up. I can show you guys.
That makes me so hard. I love that. I don't know how much like people like can understand what like a nerd I am. I mean, I give off the vibe, but like I refuse to change my name if I ever get married because my initials are AVP. So I'm like Alien versus Predator.
Oh shit!
Yeah, so I'm like, no. And I was born on Friday the 13th, so I'm like,
damn.
Oh hell yeah!
You're fucking horrored out, girlfriend. I didn't even know this. There's new revelations every time I see you, Ashley.
Boom! I'm all about that horror life. But no, I love that you guys have already talked about it. But yeah, I love Aliens. I love the entire franchise. But I love that you guys have called out before my favorite line where Hicks is like, "Do you ever get mistaken for a man?" And she's like, "No, do you?" It's like one of my favorite lines in any movie.
Well, I know we're getting off track, but Aliens, if you like empowered women, like, and as I do, I love a powerful woman, okay? Aliens is your goddamn movie right there. It's the perfect women's empowerment movie that isn't, I feel like, pandering to anybody. It's just like, no, this is what strong women look like. They do exactly this, right? And it's kind of like, don't get me wrong, like the strength of a woman is so much different than the strength of a man. Like, I don't like when, like, if this makes sense, I don't like when there's like, they try to make a woman like a man. Does that make sense? They just try to say, oh, well, women are just going to be exactly like this dude. Like, no. Mm-hmm. Like, I like that there is, at least in Alien, I feel like there's such a motherly quality to everything that happens. And I'm like, that is the strength of a lady right there. Like, that is it. It's not trying to be a man. It is literally like, no, this is just what a strong woman is. So,
right. Because you're right. There are definitely lots of horror movies where, and thankfully I don't really see it in this movie, Feast. But yeah, there's a lot of horror movies or just action movies in general where they try to give women like this unnatural coldness.
Yes.
That men can usually do, where it's like, I don't feel I'm unattached to anything. But I'm like, no, like, I think generally women have a natural need to nurture.
That's the one thing that bothers me. Suppressing our emotions, that's the man's game, okay? Don't take that from us.
And I'm very emotional. Like, watching Judah Friedlander get puked on the whole time, I'm like, I just hope men watch this movie and now realize how hard it is when women get jizzed on and we have to clean up afterwards. It's a full day's game.
That's what I, you know, I was thinking the same thing when I saw that. I was like, man, how does my old lady feel? Oh, God.
It's a whole shower. You got to get it out of your hair. It's in your skin, your eyes.
I'll be honest with you. Ever since I hit 30, the maggot ratio in my cum has gone way down. So I'm so much better than I was. But like, yeah, I could see, you know, 20-year-old Eric getting fucking blowing a load. That wasn't great. I can understand.
I've done that's so a terrible much damage. Image now. I'm not gonna lie.
I've done so much damage. So Bozo and Hot Wheels watch. There's a scene that I don't know why I wrote this down, but it's like it's some of the TNA in the movie. Bozo and Hot Wheels decide to watch Honey Pie wash the blood off her rocking tits, and I guess that's it. You know, it looks like Bozo could Hot Wheels could just get up and walk after that, but she is. they just throw that in there in the middle. I don't know.
I hate hearing like, oh, look at these amazing boobs. Like, if you're gonna tell me that I'm gonna get to see boobies and that the character, like, they are based around their boobs or like their looks, I want to see big old bakers. Like, I want to see them coming a mile away and be like, Jesus. Hers just weren't that exciting for me.
To me, see, I like, I feel like all the mystique is gone after you see the titty. I like being,
true.
I like the idea of not seeing it, because when you finally get to see it, then the mystery's gone. And then I kind of like the mystery of it.
I think that's why we're still friends. I get it.
That's it. That's why. That's it. As soon as I see it, you're off the show. So
you're like, ugh, gross, and then you puke all over me.
And then I Judah Friedlander you, and then they're like, were they that bad? No, that is my reaction when I see titties. Actually, I can't handle the pressure of it, and I projectile vomit on everyone around me. Every time I take a shower, I do the exact same thing. I look in the mirror, I'm like that, and that's just how I react. I mean, I can't change that. So they nail the place down. They cover the dead inside. Jason Mewes, the vet, and Harley Mom, R.I.P. Unfortunately, Sweet Cody already completely devoured on the outside, and of course, our hero, our original hero. So they decide to deal with the little one that's locked up in the fucking ice chest next. And old boss man draws his six shooter and says, "Thank God for guns." So he goes to inspect it. And then the thing fucking grabs him through it, starts ripping his leg up a little bit with his claw. And then Tuffy comes over and fucking grabs the shotgun and then shotgun blasts that thing back into oblivion. And there is one horror trope that I don't know if we'll ever get away from, and I guess it's true. The shotgun is the ultimate equalizer for some reason.
Agreed.
In every single horror film, there's not one thing that's like, oh, is that scary? It's cool. I got the shotgun. And I don't know what it is. I mean, I do get it. It's because within 5 feet of anything, if you have a shotgun, it's devastating amount of damage you could do. I get that.
Sure.
But also... Cool. Automatic, like, even in the movie Alien, I know Aliens, I keep going back to it. Remember, they disarm everybody, and then, but Hicks still has, he's just like, I keep this for close encounters. Like, it's just like, I always still have my shotgun, because you're like, oh, they have high-tech fucking space military weapons. They're like, I still got a sawed-off shotgun, and it's all I need.
The other thing I never understand, and I think your former third chair, Kim, used to say this during certain shows, too, depending on the movie, where, like, I know I'm a woman, and I, like, woman power, but how many times you see them just whip out a gun or these big guns, and I'm like, she's got to weigh what, maybe 120, maybe 130 yeah. pounds, mm-hmm. and there's no kickback.
Yeah, get out of here with that. What are you using, bird pellets? Fuck out of here. So she they open it up to see the dead monster inside, and it is completely fucking pulverized, but the beer guy is not taking it. I love Judah Friedlander's reaction. He's like, you tell me that was the fucking little one? We just fucking did all this for the little one and we can't even get that? Like, which is, it's pretty badass, right? I get it. It's very much back to like the Corporal Hudson, right? From Aliens. Yeah. He's like, this is it. Fuck it. We're good. Why don't you put her in charge? Like,
yeah. Well, it is funny because, yeah, he plays that sniveling character like really well, the weak mm-hmm. man. But I also find it funny that as time goes on and he's not handling it so well, that everyone is completely indifferent to what is going on with him and yes. his suffering.
Yes, absolutely. No, I'm on you with that. So I have a little clip of Judah talking about how fucking horrible these things are, and it bleeds into another clip of Henry Rollins as the life coach trying to rally the troops here.
That's the little one? We can't kill these things. No way.
Look, we have to fight these things. We just have to be clever about this, okay?
Maybe we don't need to fight them at all.
Yeah, why don't we just call them names? Fucking genius.
We're stuck here. I can see this. But what we need to do is think outside the box. We don't need to fight them. We need to scare them. We need to scare them back. This is a species standoff. We just need to show them that we are not vulnerable, that we are formidable.
How? Such a fucking douchebag. Anyway, we are formidable. And so he goes on to tell him his plan. He decides to go take the corpse of the little baby monster that they just murdered, and then mm-hmm. He picks it up with a pool cue and then asks them, just let me open one slat so I could put this out here so we could show dominance. And they stick it out through the window, and they snatch it off of there. And I picked up a little of Judah Friedlander talking about what he's seeing.
There's two of them.
They grab it.
It's like they're wearing dead animals or something.
Hey, it's working. You're a genius. See what I tell you.
Wait, there's a third. It's like a family. It's a goddamn family.
We just killed their baby.
And then they eat the baby.
Holy shit, she ate it. She didn't even chew it, man. She swallowed it. Oh, dear.
What's he doing?
They're humping.
And then they start fucking outside.
Oh, man.
The whole time I was thinking it was a Woodward
home
video.
Monsters are doing it doggy style.
That's just sex.
And they go on to fuck and just making a new baby right on the spot, which is just, what a beautiful circumstance. The circle of life for these horrible monster creatures.
My plan is to, whenever I do have kids of my own and they ask me how babies get made, I'm just going to show them this clip and be like, this is what we do.
Well, first you take the first one that didn't work out. First of all, girls, you keep all of your abortions, and then after that, you present them to the monster gods so that they may make a new one that on the spot that night.
Yeah, like you hear those moms eating their kids' placentas. I'm like, yeah, it's the same thing. It gives you energy.
God, could you imagine how fucking crazy it would be if just like every time you fucked, a baby just popped up the second it happened? Like, God,
that's so. So gross. Be like, oh, I'm going to the grocery store. What do you need? Can you pick me up a gallon of milk and some of those baby protein bars? So
I can imagine, like, personally, if it happened every time I fucked, it would be crazy having a third kid. Like, I just don't think I could handle it.
I don't know why you're like knocking it though. It's another kid to bring you beer.
Yes, yes, that's true. Honey! We find out that our heroine probably caused all of this. She talks about they have a little flashback where she actually hit one of their clan while they were driving their kid to the babysitter. And she's fucked us all in this situation. She was the one who perpetrated this attack, right? You can't just go run somebody down and then expect no consequences, lady. What kind of fucking white America do you live in, piece of shit? This is white supremacy on display, running somebody over and think that you can get away with it and not get fucking mauled for the next 24 hours.
But wait, though, is she white?
I don't know. That's what you don't understand, Ashley. It has nothing to do about that. It's the white supremacy system that caused that fucking monster to get run over. Now, meanwhile, the beer guy is still getting more and more fucked up. He's losing it. Shit is crawling through his skin. He's losing it, right? He looks through the slats to see what the monsters are doing. It gets his fucking eyeball ripped out in one of the coolest eyeball rip out scene I've ever seen, because it gets like 6 inches pulled out and it's just like that red fucking yarn of fucking the eyeball stem or whatever, and like they just yank it and it just fucking pops it like a fucking rubber band into his face. And it's a hell of a scene. I liked it overall, though. Granny, though, who's the old lady who's just kind of smoked cigarettes, she's the old fucking grizzled Jurassic Park looking motherfucker. The lady who wears leopard print that just sits the casino and just smokes and does only plays slots, no table games. That's like what Granny is. She has a plan of how to get out of all this.
You youngins, you worry about weapons. I'm thinking strategy.
Oh, and what's that?
Sit still. And look less like a meal.
That's for bears and sharks, Chunky Jew.
Oh, that was Bozo in the background, who's the worst character in everything here. And somehow...
Can I just say, though, that I love her? Because she plays essentially the exact same character in Eight-Legged Freaks as David Arquette's
aunt. She does. Another quality time one we should do sometime. David Arquette, former WCW champion, shout outs. You know, speaking of David Arquette, you know, we've never done a movie that's featured him, and I am a huge wrestling fan. Now, I know you might not be a huge wrestling fan, but let me tell you, one of the downfalls of the WCW is that they made David Arquette at one time the WCW heavyweight champion through a screw job that happened in the 90s, mm-hmm. and it marked what many consider the end of the WCW era. That was like where the decline happened, is where they made mm-hmm. David Arquette the champion. And when that happened, David Arquette is a huge wrestling fan. Since then, he's gone on to continue wrestling in like indie programming for like the last 20 some years. And he gets heckled by fans and gets a lot of shit. And there was a very funny moment where David Arquette was just like somebody in like a fucking auditorium with like 60 people watching a wrestling match was like, hey, you don't even need the money. He was just like, what do you need the money, Arquette? And then he looked over at him. He goes, bitch, I got friends' money. And then I really love me some David Arquette.
That is really pretty funny. But you know, that's a good point. I mean, I don't know a full list, but I mean, obviously he did the Scream movies mm-hmm. and he did Eight-Legged Freaks. So yeah, we got to do one of his soon.
Between Patricia and David, the Arquette family is doing well. And I know they're brother and sister, and then maybe they don't share funds like that, but I assume they're that kind of family. So let's just admit they're doing okay. So... ultimately, the gang decides to go check upstairs for supplies and to get the radio to call for help. They decide to go send up a small contingency of Henry Rollins, the barkeep, and Bozo. They head upstairs to the radio, and Our heroine and Tuffy go head downstairs to go check some shit out. So they push Bozo into the door and then lock him in there because if, like, we don't know the fucking monsters in there. We don't want them out here. You got to go call the radio. After much buildup, nothing happens except that you get to see a bat. But while he's radioing for help, he finds that there's some critter in there that's ready to fuck with him. It starts to break through the wall. It breaks the radio, and he runs to the door. Of course, it's locked, and they've broken the key off in the lock. But luckily, they're able to open the door just in time and close it on nothing else but the monster's dick. So the monster attack is essentially his first attack. Like, I don't know what species on the planet attacks penis first as rape is its first option. And then
wait, like, are you kidding me? I mean, I'm a woman. Of course I'm used to that. Like, that's every day.
So this is accurate. I've never been attacked by penises. I say that I've never been attacked by an unwanted penis. Okay. So I don't know. Yeah. You know,
they're in my inbox all the time. Just penis first. Just.
But it doesn't stop there. As they close this thing's dick in the door, they grab a machete, cut it off, and then stomp it in a sea of red and white that comes out, which is extra fucking gross. Which I really enjoyed for the most part. Rollins is happy that now they can't reproduce. He's trying to still paint this as a pretty picture and tries to inspire the gang some more.
These monsters are no match for the human spirit. We can do it. We just need to believe in each other. Believe in all of us. We need to make a stand. Right here, right now.
God, what a douchebag. And then at the end, the guy, Bozo cuts in. He's like, dude, are you gay? Which is, I thought, hey, listen, if it's gay to want to inspire humanity, then call me Mr. Fag at this point, because I just want to help. It was 2005. The goalposts on calling things gay hadn't been moved yet. Very much a sign of the times there. So.
Well, and I was going to say, like, I'm not really going to expect a lot of, like, politically correct ideas out of, you know, a movie like this. Like, at this point, if this is where we're drawing lines, I think we've really missed the boat.
If there's one thing that I do, I look for all my political and social advice from a character named Bozo in the movie Feast. That's where I make all my tough decisions. What would Bozo do in this situation? You know, where can he weigh in on what our society is going through in 2020 right now? I go straight to Bozo from the movie Feast. So, now, meanwhile, the monster family is working on breaking down the wall to the bar, so they know that now there's a time limit. When that wall comes down, the monsters come pouring in. Beer Guy mentions that there's a secret hatch downstairs that they can escape if they can make the right kind of distraction. So... Mm-hmm. They come up with this plan.
What's the distraction?
Well, they want to eat us, right?
Yeah.
Let's give them something to eat.
Let's give them something to eat. So they take pieces of all the dead bodies and decide to make a bait bomb. One of the main part of this bait bomb is our sweet biker lady, Harley Girl, who they basically make a little IED fucking improvised explosive device to fucking blow up on these fuckers. So the Honey Pie goes to check on Beer Guy while they're building this, which I kind of love this scene. She's like, can I see your eye? And he lifts it up and it's just crawling with maggots. And he's just like, no, it's going good. She starts throwing up, which is pretty fun scene.
She's like, it's looking better. It's so gross. It reminds me of Monty Python. It's just a flesh wound. It's like, no, baby.
So they go to the second floor for some reason. And the way that this bomb works is like they got it rigged. So all you have to do is plug in an extension cord. It blows this lady bomb up. And they go to set it out as bait. But all of a sudden, Harley Girl just wakes up and she's like, I'm totally alive. Oh, my God. Blah, 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 blah. But Bozo and Boss Man are arguing. And it was just like, she's already dead. And Bozo's like, no, we can't do this. It immediately, while they're arguing off whether to let her go or not, she gets dragged off by a monster along with the extension cord that is going quickly that direction. The cord is about to go out the window. Bozo grabs it. Fucking, and now it gets to this point where he gets to this little socket that he's like this, and luckily he's able to, at the last minute, fucking plug it in. And blow up one of the little monster babies that have just been made. So,
can I just say that I feel bad for her character, but watching her fly out there and explode reminds me of Jaws when they would set off the pieces from the boat.
Yes, yes. It has very good Jaws reference there. I know, I see that. So, with that distraction, Heroin runs out to go make some more distraction with some shotgun blasts, and Boss pulls a gun on Bozo upstairs so they can get their story straight before we leave here, and that causes a fight between those two. Meanwhile, the remaining survivors have to fight with Beer Guy, who tries to leave and is freaking out. In all the mayhem, Bozo accidentally shoots our heroine, making her monster food for sure, leaving her outside, basically grabbing her locket as she falls out the second story window and then gets devoured by all the fucking monsters. And as Bozo looks at the boss man looks at him and goes, now we both got a secret, don't we?
So, and then he fucks him to death.
Yeah, and then they had aggressive West Virginian gay sex, which is the only thing that can happen after you accidentally murder two people. So
we got another secret.
So we're down to the last couple of people. The boss man, who clearly should die at this point, Tuffy, Bozo, Barkeep, Hot Wheels, Honey Pie, and a very fucked up beer guy. Oh. But also Granny. So Tuffy decides to take charge and becomes the new hero. Hopefully she's going to be better than everybody else. So Boss is not impressed with her little speech, though, as he lays on the floor and offers some words of encouragement of his own.
Y'all go ahead, though. You storm out of here. A bunch of racket. They won't even notice me. They like food that moves.
Oh, and like as he's laying there, fucking, he gets fucking grabbed up through the floorboards and fucking mauled to death, which is a pretty good little death scene right there. While this commotion is happening, Granny goes and just decides to lock herself in the walk-in fridge, which, I mean, seems completely logical at this point. You know, she's making smooth moves. While that commotion is happening, Rollin makes a run for it. They peek outside to see if he can make it to the vehicle, and they see that now he's being used as a human battering ram. He goes, ah! So they're trying to break down the wall with Rollins' face. The barkeep hands the beer guy a Molotov cocktail. He says, throw this when the time is right. He's like, you make it out, I'll take you to a hospital. I promise. Which is, I mean, at this point, I guess it's the best deal he can broker, right? So the door breaks open as the monsters come to roll in, and they somehow, in this finite amount of time, rig up a ladder system with kegs similar to a Donkey Kong-like video game where they just start throwing kegs at him and then shooting the kegs, and the kegs don't explode in any shape or form, but we forget that because it's fun in a movie. while all that's happening, Honey Pie makes her run for the vehicle. She gets to the car, she starts it, and then she immediately just drives away, which is my favorite part of the movie, is where she just drives away while that's happening. And I loved it so much. My daughter is back once again. Susie, what do you need? Get in close. We're on the show right now, so now you have to be part of the show. So tell us what happened.
Daddy, I just want to tell you that you're probably going to want to get new games on Nintendo Switch.
Why? Why do I need new games on Nintendo Switch?
Because I think you've completed all, you just got to complete my thing in Super Mario Odyssey, part of Super Mario Odyssey, and then we're probably going to have to get a new game, so we have choices of Super Mario Party or...
So we just need, you beat Super Mario Odyssey, and I should get a new game?
No, I need you to beat Super Mario Odyssey.
Me to beat it, okay. Yeah.
And also get a new game.
Okay, I'll get us a new game, I promise. Can Daddy finish doing his recording down here, is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay, I appreciate it. Thank you so much, I love you.
Love ya.
Give me a kissy.
Bye.
Aw, thank you.
Aww.
All right. That go upstairs now. I'm just kidding. I love you. I love you so much.
You know she only kisses you because you buy her stuff, right? Like you're her pimp.
It's the story of my life.
She's like, Daddy, can I get a new purse? You're like, all right.
It is so fun to be lower middle class and feel like a king. Let me tell you. it's never felt better. So back to the movie. I love that part though when she just drives the truck, because that's what should happen in any of these movies. Oh, I got a getaway vehicle. True. Time to leave now. See you guys later. So our first survivor has made it out.
But I also love that, isn't it a Coors Light truck? That it's like, God, if you're going to run off with all the beer, couldn't it be good beer?
No, if that's all you get. So Honey Pie gets out and leaves. The last of them are essentially fucked. Monster breaks down the wall finally and reveals himself to look metal as fuck. And they're basically like these weird, wet-looking, bald monsters with fucking... They basically look like flesh-covered Venoms, like Venom from Spider-Man, but with no eyeball holes or whatever. Pretty cool.
I was also thinking Doom.
Yeah, Doom-esque, like the imps, right? I feel that.
Yeah.
So that thing starts wrecking house, and there's another one that's still punching holes underneath the place. Our beer guy wanders around aimlessly with a Molotov cocktail, seemingly completely out of it. They're dealing with the big one on the first floor, who's punching, and the monster pops the beer, basically comes over, pops beer guy's head like a fucking balloon, like bam,
so cool.
Like that. Badass. Tuffy and Bozo rush the big monster, knocking him to the ground. The barkeep gets a chunk taken out of his neck by this monster that's on the ground, but Tuffy basically full mounts him and then tries to shoot him with the shotgun that has no bullets, turns it around so the fucking butt of it is in her hands, and then starts busting this thing's teeth out after teeth out, and she's just screaming, just bop. Bop, 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 takes her hand after she's knocked all of its teeth out, shoves it down the thing's throat, and then with her bare hands rips a fucking full thing of red ramen noodles right out of his goddamn gullet, killing the monster.
Yeah, I gotta say, watching her stick her whole fist in up to the elbow really made me nostalgic. So.
I almost spit beer. I'm sorry I had to give you. It deserved a better laugh. I didn't want to ruin my equipment.
No, you're fine. I thought the whole time, I was like, oh, I should call him.
So she rips him out. Bozo, Hot Wheels, and Tuffy make it out alive. They have to carry Huffy, Hot Wheels over his shoulder. And they go, hey, Tuffy goes, he's like, hey, maybe I'm just going to go pick up this random kid that was left at the babysitter's. You know, I just lost mine. No big deal. Yeah, I'm just going to go get this new kid real quick. And they rolled the credits after some funniness with trying to actually start the car and having to push it and doing stuff like that. But there is a post-credit scene out of nowhere where they go to see Granny, and then Granny finally pops her way out, but she gets attacked by a little one out of nowhere. And that brings us to an end of 2005's Feast. We did it. We did it. Another one in the hole. Feels good.
Oh, don't say that. That makes me moist.
It makes me moist. It makes my boy pussy hard. Yeah.
Boy pussy hard. That sounds bad. I feel like you've been dealing with that for months. I feel like that's terrible.
It's just the way I live at this point. It's just the way that I live. So that's it. Feast, guys. Hopefully you said a bunch of there's sequels to this film I didn't know about.
Yes, there's at least two other sequels. And I think the second one is called Sloppy Seconds, which makes me laugh.
That is pretty funny.
And I know there's a third one, but then I didn't realize, because did Feast ever go to theaters?
I don't believe so. I think it was a direct-to-DVD release.
Okay. So then I'm pretty sure the same producers, at least, I don't know if it was the same director, then they also did a film called Creature, which I've never seen, but it seems like essentially the same kind of cesspool of gross.
All right. Well, maybe we need to delve deeper into the Feast universe, the FCU. So
I think so.
Maybe on future episodes we'll check that out.
With Jeremy.
Ashley, tell us where we can find you at.
Oh my goodness. Well, now, bless my heart, you can find me with the Quality Time Brothers every week, which is just makes me so drippy. You can also find me on Instagram and my Facebook page at Ashley Pontius Laughs for updates.
Check all that shit out. The Second Saturday Shit Show is free every second Saturday of the month, hosted by former hosts Kimberly Callahan and Michael Quinlan. Virtual, currently, all things Eric Comedy. The ericcomedy.com. I'm going to take us out. Oh, my God, there's a feast and there's teeth, and Judah Freelander didn't have a beard in this movie.